Let's end on blind spots here this hour. We got two professors of psychology and a very dangerous test that we do want to encourage you to do at home. It'll reveal some blind spots that are not cosmological, maybe more psychological and sociological. Joining us now, Tony Greenwald and Mazarine Banaji are the authors of a new book that examines our innate prejudices and the measuring of those innate prejudices. It's called Blind Spot, The Hidden Biases of Good People. Tony is up in Seattle, joins us for the campus of the University of Washington. Tony, welcome.
Hi, John. And thanks for using our book title as your theme today.
Sure, sure. And Mazarine Banaji is a professor of psychology at Harvard, joining us from Cambridge. Mazarine, thanks for being with us.
Hi, John.
So let's talk about the motivation that you had to get into this and really to design a test that was going to reveal things that people talk about in really mushy ways about bias and racial bias and this and that. But you've managed to really acquire some precision in the discussion here. Tony?
Yes, and we created the test about a little over 15 years ago. And the reason is because we were part and still are part of a revolution in our field of psychology, which is gradually figuring out ways to observe the things that go on without thinking. And we are discovering that these are more and more important. We're gaining new evidence all the time about this. So the implicit association test, the procedure we use, is the procedure we developed to allow us to look into these blind spots.
And this test is a part of a way of testing a fairly large thought in psychology that's developed over the last generation. And Mazarine, I wonder if you'd comment on this, that the unconscious is not this sort of secret agent in the back of your mind that Freud talked about, but in fact is more of a software tool that basically allows us automatically to make choices that it would simply be impossible for us to do consciously. Yes?
That's absolutely right. And this is why Freud is taught in departments of English and not in departments of psychology anymore, because while he was right in pointing out the importance of the unconscious, there was no underlying science, replicable ways of knowing what the mind is doing that Freud could give us. That's a modern invention. And so what we now have are varieties of tests, of which ours is one, in which we can get to those aspects of our minds that we don't even ever reach into. And I usually tell people that this is surprising to them only because they believe that they should have access to a lot more of their mind. If I said to you, do you know what your pancreas is doing right now? You would have no hesitation in saying to me, I have no clue. But if I said, what's your mind doing now? You have a belief based on some rational evidence that you do have some access to your mind. But that doesn't mean you have access to most of your mind.
Well, I certainly can't do anything about my pancreas helping to digest the apple I ate for breakfast this morning. But having no control and abstractly understanding what these things do is very, very different from having control and the ability to manipulate them. When you took this test that Tony came up with and, you began to be in something of the guinea pig on this test, what surprised you about the coded associations that seem to be in all of our brains?
What's remarkable about the IAT is that I was quite familiar with tests of its kind, but none of those tests had ever brought me face to face with what was going on in my own mind like the IAT did. Tony sent me a program, and I think the title of the email was Try This. And I did, and it was a race test. It required me to associate faces of people who are light-skinned and dark-skinned with Afrocentric or Eurocentric features, and just to associate those two different groups with words that mean good or bad things, words like love, peace, and joy, or words like devil, bomb, and vomit. And I know my mind. I have thought about race for a long time. I am, I think, a deeply egalitarian person. And I just took the test without any worry because I knew that I would come out equally on both, doing equally well on both. And so it was staggering to discover that my fingers were literally frozen on the screen, on the keyboard, when I had to associate white with bad and black with good.
And Tony, what people who take this test confront is how difficult it is to uncode associations. I mean, you're deliberately creating a test that grabs associations that aren't there and forces people to try to work despite those associations, and they have real difficulty. They both feel it, and their scores reflect that they have a bunch of coded biases.
Right. What the test measures is the slowdown in speed when you're trying to respond to the test in ways that require you to overcome and oppose those associations. We were all surprised to discover how certain stereotypes and biases that we thought characterized only a small minority of Americans showed up in 75%, some cases more. And it eventually told us that people must be acquiring this probably from many exposures to media over years and years. These stereotypes are coming into their heads. They're not aware that they're there. They actually think that the things that they believe and endorse are actually all that's in their heads.
So, Mahzarin Banerjee, how do you think these manifest themselves? Probably not in a, you know, decision to join a, you know, a racial hate group, but more in subtle interactions, maybe in the workplace even. What do you think?
Right. I think that that's where the action is. And those are the more pervasive acts that we perform. Joining a racially hateful group is a rare thing for most of us to do. And this is something that Tony and I have been trying to say, that we do a lot of things that involve, for example, the helping of people of our own kind. These days, most of us do not join hate groups. We do not march across town to burn down the churches of people who come from a different denomination. But we do show preferences for our own kind. We help people of our own kind. We look at a bank loan from somebody who has a last name that's similar to ours, and we trust them more. And we think that that will be a worthwhile loan to make. Those are the ways in which it shows up, and everybody performs actions every day that could involve these, whether it is offering somebody a job, making a bank loan, just the amount of eye contact we make with people, whether we smile at them, eliciting from them a more positive behavior. These are all the millions of little things we do every day that end up being the carriers of hidden biases.
Well, you make great points in this book. And one of the great stories is, you know, how Malcolm Gladwell, Mr. Smarty himself, was shocked to discover his own hidden biases by taking the test. It's just one of the things you can learn in this book, Blind Spot, The Hidden Biases of Good People. Mahzarin Banerjee, professor of psychology at Harvard, and Tony Greenwald, professor of psychology at the University of Washington. Thanks so much.
And thanks for inviting us, John.
Yeah, and thanks for giving me new insights into what a biased person I've turned out to be. We want to hear from you. What sort of blind spot ideas resonate with you, whether it's history, your sort of racial orientations, the associations that you might have that might affect your decisions? We'd love to hear from you. 877-8-MY-TAKE. We also want to know, what music would you marathon? Not for hours, not for minutes, for days.
My name is Michael from New York City. I'm calling about Bruce Springsteen, and listening to Bruce Springsteen, to me, is like reading some great lost Steinbeck novel. Springsteen's songs are just full of people that you love, and they seem to live and grow and offer you something.
Seen a man stand over dead dog by the highway in the ditch.
Oh, man, we're just dancing in the dark here on The Takeaway. Head over to thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. Catch up on any of the conversations on the program. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Standing out on Highway 31. Like if you stood there long enough, a dog get up and run.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.